Good morning. Welcome to the Base Mender Sunday morning share with Rabbi Yonason Sachs. This morning share on Hidden Mitzvah is sponsored by Linda and Milton Frank in memory of Ladi Frank, Leah Bas, Yoshua Hagoyim, Olashom, the Covered Girl, Rav Sachs.
One of the important aspects of Ner Chanukah that really affects many other mitzvahs as well is the concept of Hidra Mitzvah. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos in Daf Kufla and Gimel Mabez, the pasuk of Zek Keli Va'anvehu, and the Gemara explains that how is it that literally we beautify HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's not the fun of the mitzvahs. One performs a mitzvah, and one that exhibits splendor in beauty, that is considered to be a fulfillment of this pasuk of Zek Keli Va'anvehu. And the concept of the mitzvah as mentioned certainly plays a critical role when it comes to Ner Chanukah. The Gemara tells us that the Ikar mitzvah is simply to have Ner Yishuv Esav, a single candle per night per household. Mahadrin is Ner L'Kol Echad V'Echad, that you light corresponding to each member of the home. And then Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin, the correspondence to the particular night of Chanukah, we assume of course, as they say, Yamim Hayotzim, that means that you light one on the first and descend up to eight on the concluding night of Chanukah. But yet as mentioned, Hidra mitzvah is not limited at all to Ner Chanukah, but rather it applies to many of the mitzvahs found in the Torah Hashem. When that Gemara in Shabbos Naf Kuflam and Gimel gives us examples of Hidra mitzvah, it refers to seeing to it that the Chetzesho mitzvah, the object of the mitzvah itself, is one that exhibits that sense of beauty. The Gemara tells us to have a sukkana, a lulavna, shofarna, the chefzesha mitzvah. The object of the mitzvah itself should be beautiful. And yet, when it comes to Ner Chanukah, it seems to be a somewhat different application. That sense of Hidra mitzvah would be that the Ner Chanukah itself should be a beautiful one. But here, Hidra mitzvah is not addressing the Ner, but rather the minyan haneros, how many candles a person should light. This is though that Hidra mitzvah is not referring to the object, the chefzesha mitzvah, but rather it teaches us something critical about the maisa mitzvah, how it is that the mitzvah is in fact performed. And this opens up an entire world to Hidra mitzvah, not just simply the chefza, the object of the mitzvah, but rather Hidra in terms of the maisa mitzvah, the kiyum mitzvah itself. And there are many examples that you find in the halacha that emphasize this point. The opening Mishnah in Arvei Psochim and Psochim Adav Tzalites Mabeis stresses the need to eat the matzah l'te'avon. A person should see to it at the Seder that he will consume the matzah with a sense of passion, with a sense of enthusiasm. We don't want a person to have a full meal already on Erev Yontif, and then when it comes time to eat the matzah, he's somewhat full, but rather the achila should be L'teyavon. Why exactly is that so important, that achila samatza l'teyavon? Rashi and the Rashbam write on the Daf Sofim Teyites Madeis, that is part of Zekeli Vandeyu. That is fulfilling a mitzvah in a beautiful fashion. There as well, we're not talking about the matzah, that the matzah should be a beautiful one, but rather that the mitzvah is performed ba'ofen hamahudar, in a beautiful fashion. And if you look, for example, in Tosus writes in Brachos and Daf Chav Aleph and Sukkah and Daf Lameches that we know there is a principle of Shomea Ka'ona, that many times that even though I am obligated in a particular mitzvah, I can be yotzei through others. Someone else can be motzi me in that particular chiyur. Typically, when it comes, for example, to Kiddush, to Hamosi on Shabbos, everyone could recite Kiddush themselves, but Shomea Kona would allow one to be motzimi in my particular obligation. Interesting, the Rambam writes that if I sit there silently having in mind to be yotzei, that is Shomea Kona. If I answer Amen, Amen is considered to be Kimavarech. It's as though I recited the Brach of Kiddush myself, because Tosus writes in those two places, Brachos Chapalov, Sokolamaches, that even though there's a principle of Shomea Ka'ona, but nonetheless, Aniya Adif Tvei, it is better to answer or to perform the mitzvah yourself. Why exactly is that true? That Aniya Adif Tvei? So Tosus and Sukkah writes that's a mitzvah and a muvchar. The ideal way of fulfilling the mitzvah is that you actively participate, not that passively you hear someone else recite the bracha. But if you look in Tosus and Brachos Chafalev, Tosus writes that's a form of Hidur mitzvah. That's part of Zekei Livan Veil. In other words, that even though the Torah has various vehicles or tools that I can fulfill a mitzvah through someone else, Shomei Koneh, or sometimes, for example, the concept of Shlichus, I can appoint someone to perform the mitzvah on my behalf, but nonetheless, it is Hidur mitzvah for a person to perform the mitzvah himself. You know, the Gemara does tell us the opening of the second parak of Kedushin, the Ha'ish Mekadesh Bo Vishlucho, when it comes to marriage, the Chosan can marry the Kala himself, or he can appoint a Shliach to do so on his behalf. And the Mishnah states, Ha'ish Mekadesh Bo Uvi Mishlucho, so therefore, the Gemara raises the issue that if Shlichus is possible, Bo, obviously, let the Mishnah just tell us the Kiddush, that Shlichus can be utilized for Kiddushin. Isn't it obvious that a person can marry the woman himself? The Gemara says, no, that order is very important, Bo Uvi Shlucho, because it teaches us the principle of Mitzvah Bo, Yosemi Bishlucho. Even if you can discharge the obligation through someone else, but ideally, one should perform the mitzvah himself. And Tosus comments in Brachos Chaf Aleph that that concept is Hidur mitzvah. It's considered to be an enhancement of the mitzvah when I do so personally, individually, rather than discharge my obligation through someone else. That, again, that is not Hidur mitzvah in terms of the chefter shal mitzvah, that the object of the mitzvah should be beautiful. We're not dealing with a chefter shal mitzvah, but rather we're talking about who is it that performs the maisa mitzvah, who performs the requisite act. And the answer is that ideally it is a form of hidur mitzvah for you to do it, rather than to rely on someone else. So that's a further example of hidur mitzvah, of maisa mitzvah, you performing the mitzvah rather than fulfilling it ayyadei acherim. In fact, we mention when it comes to Ner Chanukah, the Iker mitzvah is Ner Yishuv Beiso, one candle per household. And what is Mahadrin? Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad. What does that mean? Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad. You know, the Rambam writes, we discussed that in earlier years, that that is all how many candles the Balabais lights. If there are several members in the home, the Iker mitzvah is one candle per night, but Mahadrin is the Balabayis lights corresponding to the number of people as part of that household. The Rambam gives you an example, a family of 10, the Rambam is a large family, in such a case, every night, 10 candles. Mahadrin, mina Mahadrin, means that you light a candle for every person in the house, times the particular night of Hanukkah. The Rambam writes, the last night of Hanukkah, family of 10, the Balabayis lights 80 candles. That's the Rambam's example of Mahadrin min Mahadrin. But the Rama disagrees, a slight variation. The Rama writes that Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad does not mean how many candles does the Balabayis light, but you know what Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad means? Every person lights individually, what we do. So in other words, the Ikar HaMitzvah is that I could be Yotzei through the Balabayis. But what is Mahadrin? Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad, meaning that I should light myself rather than rely on the Balabayis. Isn't that exactly what Tosus writes in Brachos Nav Chaf Aleph? That even though I could fulfill a mitzvah through someone else, but Aniya Adif Tvei, it is considered to be preferable to perform the mitzvah yourself. And what is that called? That is called Hidur mitzvah. That's exactly parallel to the Rama's understanding of Mahadrin, that every person should participate individually rather than discharge your obligation through others. So these are a couple of examples. Fulfilling a mitzvah l'te'avon, performing a mitzvah in a passionate way, or performing a mitzvah yourself as opposed to reliance on someone else. You know, the Gemara writes in Shabbos, Daf Kuflam and Gimel, technically speaking, to perform a proper bris, all you have to do is remove most of the foreskin, rove of the orla. What about the balance of the orla, the little bit that is left? The Gemara says, yes, ideally that should be removed. Why is that true? The Gemara says that's a form of Hidur mitzvah. Perhaps the very same concept, that even though there is a tool, there's a device, la halacha, which is called rubo kikulo. But once you reach the majority, that is tenth amount too, doing something in its entirety. But nonetheless, either mitzvah requires that the mitzvah should be performed in an absolute, in a total fashion, remove all of the arla, not reliance on rubo kikulo. So even though the Torah allows for shlifus, or the Torah allows for shomei ka'one, or the Torah allows for rubo kikulo, but hidar mitzvah means a person should demonstrate his passion, his enthusiasm to perform the mitzvah, and therefore do it individually, do it yourself, do it completely. All of this is part of hidar mitzvah. Not hidar mitzvah in terms of the object of the mitzvah, but hidar mitzvah in terms of the kiyum ha-mitzvah, the maisa ha-mitzvah, the manner in which I perform a mitzvah. In fact, there's a comment that Prima Gadim has, and this is found in Hilchos Lulav in Tav Reish Nun Vav. This is quoted as well by the Bir Halacha, and that's in Tav Reish Nun Vav. What about the following? Technically speaking, we paskin like a particular view. So therefore, you know what? I can purchase this Lulav Nesra, and that will meet the standard of Shulchan Aruch. But admittedly, with these Dalet Minim, I wouldn't fulfill each and every view, all of the views. So the Prima Gadim writes the following: to fulfill a mitzvah l'chol hadeos, to be yotze to all shittos, even a shita that technically we don't paskin like, that is considered to be preferable. And what is that called? That is called, the Prima Gadim writes, hidur mitzvah. Technically a yotze, but it's a hidur mitzvah to fulfill the mitzvah l'chol hadeos. And what exactly does that mean? The Prima Gadim writes it in a very technical sense. How much am I obligated to spend for the purpose of hidur mitzvah? So the Gemara writes in Bava Kama Daf Tes that hidur mitzvah is ad shlish. The cap is a third. In other words, that if I could fulfill the mitzvah right, with a given amount, I'm expected to spend an additional third to fulfill the element of hidur mitzvah. What exactly is that? A third? The Gemara has the following suffix. We discussed this in the past as well. Let's assume that I can purchase dalet minim for $60. In such a case, I will be yotze the ikar ha-mitzvah. But hidur mitzvah requires that I add a third. So what is 60 plus a third? The Gemara has two possibilities. Either it's 80 or it's 90. Now, 80 would mean the following, that a third of 60 is 20, right? And therefore, 60 and 20 is 80. 90 would mean the following, that of the full amount of the outlay, that which I am spending, $90, I'll ask you, how do you divide up that $90? The answer is as follows, that, well, two-thirds was the ikra mitzvah, and one-third is the hidur mitzvah. That's what the Gemara calls lebar. That means externally, based on the final layout, as opposed to milagav, the original figure of 60 that you begin with. So the Gemara tells us the hidur mitzvah is achlish. So the Prima Gadim writes a halacha, fascinating idea, and that is that, look, I can purchase these dalet minim and am yotze, but these others I can be yotze l'chol hadeos. How much should I be willing to spend to fulfill the mitzvah l'chol hadeos? You know what his answer is? Achlish, because that's a form of hidra mitzvah. These are all examples of hidra mitzvah not dealing with the object of the mitzvah, but rather dealing with hidra mitzvah in terms of the performance of the mitzvah itself. We know that one of the examples the Gemara gives, Sukkah Daf Yud Aleph, is lulav tzarech eged, that it's necessary to bind the lulav together with the hadasim and aravos. Technically speaking, they don't have to be bound. Right, you could hold them together, or the Rambam writes, you could even take one after another. That's the Rambam's view. You could take the Lula, put it down, take the Hadassim, put them down, take the Aravos, put it down, the Esrog, each one independently. But we assume that no, Lula, Tzerf, Egen, they should be bound, and that's what we all do. We bind Lula together with the Hadassim and the Aravos. And what exactly is the basis of that practice? The Gemara writes, Sukir Aleph, that is called Hidur mitzvah, hidur mitzvah. What type of hidur mitzvah is it? Avnezer writes in Simitaf Lamed Gimel that it's not hidur mitzvah in terms of the object of the mitzvah, that the lulav is more beautiful when it's bound with the hadasim and aravos, chetza, but rather it means as follows. The Torah tells us, ulakachtem, you should take them, ulakachtem lekichatama, you should take them as one, you should take them as a single unit. In other words, they should be joined, they should be combined. Well, how is it that you combine the lulav together with the hadassim and aravos. Well, you know, it would be sufficient, Rashi writes, to hold it in your hand. Your hand can serve as an egged. It can serve to combine all of the minim. But you know what? Ideally, it's considered to be a more substantial combination when they are bound. In other words, that lulav tzarech egged is a form of hidur mitzvah, not in terms of the object of the mitzvah, but in terms of the maisa lekicha, the act of taking the dalad minim. That would be a further example then of hidur mitzvah in terms of the object of the mitzvah, as well as here, the maisa hamitzvah, the performance of the mitzvah itself. See, because when we usually think of hidur mitzvah, we always emphasize seeing to it that the object, the sukkah is beautiful, the lulav is beautiful. That's true. That's one aspect of hidur mitzvah. But yet, another aspect, perhaps even the main element of hidur mitzvah, is hidur mitzvah in terms of the performance of the mitzvah itself. And what exactly is the source, right, of this halacha? Where do you find hidur mitzvah in terms of the beauty of the object itself? So there's a magnificent comment that Rashi writes. It's found in Yuma and Daf Ayin, where the Gemara describes the Kriya Satorah of the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim. And before Yom Kippur, everyone would bring their Sefer Torah to the Mikvah Hashem, and the Gemara writes the beautiful sight of seeing all the individual Sifrei Torah, right, during this particular time. And the Gemara refers to this as a form of Hidur Mitzvah. That's a spectacle, a beautiful vision of Hidur Mitzvah. The Gemara writes, Kedei Laharos Chazus Olarabim, to be able to show the beauty, right, to the masses. What is the Hidur Mitzvah? So Rashi writes as following. Chazusa means noyav shel Sefer Torah. On the one hand, you see the beauty of the Sefer Torah. Everybody has their Sefer Torah there. It's a beautiful spectacle. And then Rashi writes the following. V'tiferes ba'aleha shetarach liyisnaos b'mitzvah shenem azekeil v'nveil yisnaos l'fon of the mitzvahs. Rashi writes, what is the Hidur Mitzvah? First, the beauty of the Sefer Torah. And also Rashi writes, Tiferes Ba'aleha, the splendor, the beauty of the Osa Mitzvah, of the person who's performing the Mitzvah. In other words, the Hidur Mitzvah is not simply seeing to it that the object of the Mitzvah is beautiful, that's true. But Hidur Mitzvah, perhaps the main aspect of Hidur Mitzvah, is seeing to it that the Osa Mitzvah, the person who performs the Mitzvah, has a certain sense of inner beauty in the performance of the mitzvah himself. I would argue that Hidur Mitzvah and Chetesh HaMitzvah is more of a secondary form of Hidur Mitzvah. That a person is so conscious and careful performing the mitzvah that not only, but even the object of the mitzvah exhibits beauty. But of course, that the character of the person who's performing a mitzvah, that's considered to be that which is critical. And if the purpose of Hidur Mitzvah is that term that Rashi uses, Tiferes Ba'aleha, the beauty of the person who performs a mitzvah, you understand it very well that it's not limited to the beauty of the object, but the zrizus, the passion, enthusiasm that a mitzvah is done, performing mitzvah yourself as opposed to reliance on anyone else, seeing to it that the mitzvah would be done in a fashion that one is yotzei l'chol hadeos, taking the mitzvah in the most enhanced way as dalet minim, all of that is considered to be tiferes ba'aleha. Perhaps the source is the Gemara in the very beginning of Maseches Nazir. The Gemara writes, Adisha, a person says, Ehei na'e, a person says, I will be beautiful. The Gemara says that's considered to be an acceptance of nazirus. So the Gemara asks, how do you know it's reference to Nazirus? The person says, Ahina. The Gemara says, the toughest Bessara. When he said it, he was handling his hair, and therefore we see by his body movement, by his gestures, that he was referring to a mitzvah that impacts on the hair. A Nazir who is not allowed to cut his hair. So in the context of that discussion, the Gemara says, and if it wasn't Nazirus, what else would it mean? Toughest Bessara is an indicator, he means Nazir. And if he wasn't doing so, what would Ehena mean? I will be beautiful? The Gemara says, he's not the fun of the mitzvahs. Hidur mitzvah. In other words, the assertion, the statement that I will be beautiful, yeah, that's a reference to Hidur mitzvah. Not just the beauty of the matzah, the beauty of the shofar, the beauty of the lulav, but rather, Ehena, I will be beautiful. Now, I am able to beautify myself in the performance of the mitzvah. You know, when you look in that sugya, Shabbos Kuf Lamed Gimel, you find two different drashos regarding Zekeli Vanveyu, and somehow they seem almost very unrelated, but according to this, they are quite clearly linked. One possibility is either mitzvah. Zek kelev anveil, beautification of the object of the mitzvah. And the other is zek kelev anveil, the word anveil is ani vuhu, emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mahu apata. These two halachos seem to be very independent, very distinct, unrelated. No? One is that the matzah should be beautiful, another is that I should emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when you see all the other aspects of Hidur Mitzvah, that perhaps the main form of Hidur Mitzvah is the Osa Mitzvah, Tiferes Baaleha, these two drushes of the Gemara are clearly then linked, after all, that is part of the Tiferes Baaleha. When I am so careful to see to it that even the object of the mitzvah is beautiful, that's a reflection on my priority, on my substance, on Tiferes Baaleha. And that Midas HaTiferes, that is Anivahu, that is how we emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, these two halachos perhaps are not so distinct. It seems at first glance, but yet they are related in that fashion. And therefore, when it comes to Ner Chanukah, no doubt the important role of Hidur, of Mahadrin and Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin, but as mentioned, that this is true when it comes to each and every opportunity that we have to fulfill, right, the mitzvah of Hashem. We had mentioned in our earlier shiur that according to the view of the Pnei Yeshua, or according to the Chacham Tzvi, the Pnei Yeshua is found in Shabbos Chachalav, Chacham Tzvi is found in Siman Pei Zayin, perhaps one could understand why Hidur is so inherent. It is so built into the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Because they both argue that technically speaking, as we discussed in the last shiur, one could have lit the Ner Chanukah, even with Shemen, that is Tameh. After all, doesn't the Gemara tell us in Yom HaDafav, Sanhedrin Daf Yud Beis, that Tumah is Hutra, Tumah is Dechuya B'tzibur? Technically speaking, Tumah is not an insurmountable problem. Just as when it comes to Karban Pesach, the Torah tells us that at times a Karban can be offered B'tumah, the same thing perhaps is true when it comes to Hadlaka Chaneros as well. And if that is true, why was there the Nes of Hanukkah, why was it necessary to find the Pach HaShemen and to see to it that it continued to burn? Perhaps one could argue, that's what the Pnei Yeshua writes, that the entire mitzvah was a demonstration of the Chavivos, the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Bnei Yisrael. The performance of the Nes, even when technically speaking, the mitzvah could have been performed. I would formulate as follows, that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukkah was not on the level of Ikar HaMitzvah, but the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah was on the level of Mahadrin, Hidur Mitzvah. Technically speaking, the mitzvah could have been accommodated, but as an enhancement, the Nes Chanukah ensured that the menorah was lit, the Tahara. So if the Ner and the mitzvah, the Nes, was in order to see to it that we've done both in HaMahadrin, perhaps understand very well, just to add to the Pnei Yeshua, why it is that Chazal incorporated the concept of Hidur Mitzvah of Mahadrin and Mahadrin and Mahadrin so inherently to the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah itself. Because even though if when it comes to other examples, Mahadrin is somewhat secondary, when it comes to Ner Chanukah, not necessarily. That is part of the very takana of Ner Chanukah itself. Or Sameach writes, based on the Rambam, Peridalos of Chanukah, that just as an ani is obligated to beg or to borrow to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, he must do so even to fulfill the aspects of Mahadrin and Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin of Ner Chanukah. That's what the Rosh Hashanah suggests based on the Rambam, because after all, here, that is considered to be a critical component of the mitzvah itself. The fact that we do not merely light the Ner Chanukah in our homes, but we also do so in the shul, is a fascinating model of a minhag on which you recite a bracha. After all, the Mechaber writes, Tafresh Ayin Aleph, that Madlikin Umavarchim Abeis HaKnesses Mishum Pirsum Hanisa. Part of the Pirsum Hanes is that we light not only in our homes, but we light even in the Beis HaKnesses as well. It's interesting, when you look in the Mishnah Berurah, there Tafresh Ayin Aleph, Mishnah Berurah Sivkot Mem Dalet, the Mishnah Berurah writes that it's not so unusual that we find a bracha on that which is only a minhag. I'm not being yotzi with that habaka in the Beis HaKnesses and minhag. We also find this, for example, when it comes to halil on Rosh Chodesh, the Mishnah Berurah writes, where the Gemara comments that is only a minute, but nonetheless, we recite a bracha on the chatzihal of Rosh Chodesh. What's interesting with that analogy of the Mishnah Berurah, Havakas and Eros, Beis HaKnesses, and Han Rosh Chodesh, is you're right. We recite a bracha on both. But what's somehow fascinating is that the Mechaber would not agree with that analogy. The Mechaber in Tavchav Beis writes, based on the Rambam's view, that you know what? On Rosh Chodesh, we do not recite a bracha on Hallel, because after all, that Chatzi Hal is only a minhag, and you don't recite a bracha on minhagim. That's what the Mechaber writes. So it's fascinating that even though the Mechaber explains that you don't recite a bracha on the Chatzi Hal of Rosh Chodesh, you do recite a bracha on Hadlakas Ner Chanukah for Beis HaKnesses. And that then is the question, why? They're both minhagim. Why is it that sometimes yes, sometimes no? Really, this issue was a broader one. It's already raised by Tosfos, the Tosfos and Brachos and Daf Yud Dalet, and Tosfos and Sukkah and Daf Mem Dalet, where the Gemara writes that you don't recite a bracha on Hoshanos and Hoshana Rabbah. Why not? The Gemara debates. What is Hoshanos? Hoshanos is a mitzvah in Beis HaMikdash. What we do, Hoshanos and Hoshana Rabbah, that is not a Torah obligation. What is that? The Gemara has two possibilities. Either it's a minhag neviim, or it's a yesod neviim. Either it was a takonas neviim, or a minhag neviim. The Gemara says, what's the difference? One is obligated to perform that task nonetheless. What difference does it make whether it's a minhag or whether it's a mitzvah? That's exactly where the Gemara writes, because if something is only a minhag, on that you do not recite a bracha. And therefore, kavit kavit lobarik, we do not recite a bracha, because we assume it is a minhag neviim. So Tosfos is immediately bothered. Is that really true? We don't recite brachos on minhagim. Tosfos says we recite a bracha on a chatzi hal of Rosh Chodesh, which is only a minhag, and even though the Rambam says in truth you don't, but Tosfos maintains you certainly do. That's only a minhag. What about observance of the second day of Yom Tov Sheni Shogaliyos? Doesn't the Gemara explain the very beginning of Maseches Beis, so we observe a second day because minhag avoseinu b'yadeinu? Tosfos assumes that means minhag. It doesn't mean minhag take it or leave it. This is a minhag, the Rambam writes, is rooted in losasar as well. That's part of the mitzvah Yishmol Adivrei Chachamim. But the Gemara writes minhag avoseinu b'yadeinu. So therefore Tosfos is bothered. Why is it that on some minhagim yes, on other minhagim no? Tosfos writes as follows. Generally speaking, you always recite the bracha minhag, with the exception of arava. Why is that true? Because Tosfos says, arava, what is that? That's only, Tosfos says, tiltul ba'alma. Just handling the arava. And that you don't recite a bracha. But in other cases, you certainly do. What exactly does Tosfos mean? What's the difference between tiltul ha'arava as opposed to other cases where bracha is recited? Somewhat unclear, but perhaps Tosfos means the following. What exactly is accomplished by this minhag? What does the minhag do? The minhag elevates. What exactly does that mean? See, one would argue as follows. But you know, when it comes, for example, let's say, to Hallel of Rosh Chodesh, let's assume it's not Rosh Chodesh, and a person recites these very same Pirkei Tehillim, would you argue that that's a mundane expression? That's something that religiously has no value? You'd say, no, certainly not. Even without the minhag of reciting Pirkei Tehillim on Rosh Chodesh, but the recitation of Pirkei Tehillim, that is Avodas Hashem. That's considered to be part of the Amud HaAvoda. So that's something that in of itself is a ritual. What the minhag does, it obligates, no? Whereas there's no obligation to say Tehillim today, but on Rosh Chodesh, there is an obligation to do so. So you're right. The minhag elevates, but even without the minhag, this is endowed with the character of Avodas Hashem. It is the Amud HaAvoda. So therefore, the minhag is not transforming something that otherwise would be mundane into the quality of a mitzvah. The mitzvah just simply tells us to perform this very legitimate and valid and lofty activity today, and that you can recite the bracha. When it comes to tiltul ba'arava, perhaps Tosfos is pointing to the following, and that is that if there wasn't such a minhag, what would just holding an arava be? That would just be tiltul ba'alma. You wouldn't even classify that as being an asiyas ha-mitzvah. And that does not warrant a bracha. If it's a mitzvah, yes, but on that type of minhag, you don't recite a berchas mitzvah. That's one possibility explaining Tosfos. And that would explain why, even on Rosh Chodesh, it's only a minhag, but nonetheless, you recite a bracha on Chatzi Hala. If you look in the Tosfos, and this is what the Brisk Rav, right, elaborates, but I think it's found already in the Tosfos written, Sukkah Daf Mem Dalid, the Tosfos writes this, you know, there's a marked difference between Arava as opposed to the other cases. And the criteria that Tosfos read is as follows. Is it Noheg Chova or is it not Noheg Chova? That's the Chiddush Tosfos read writes. Whenever you have something which is Noheg Chova, Vosifu B'Chachamim, whenever you have something that exists as a mitzvah, and all the Chaim said to do is to apply it even here, and that you recite a bracha. In other words, what exactly is wrong with reciting a bracha on a minhag? What's wrong with that? See, Tosfos writes the difficulty is vitzivanu. Can you really say vitzivanu on something which is only a minhag? So the Brisk Rav points out the Rambam can't agree with it. Because the Rambam writes in Hilchos Mamrim that the Torah obligation of lo sosu, you cannot deviate from the instruction of the Chachamim, that not only applies to Pirush HaTorah, but the Rambam writes in Perek Beis of Hilchos Rambam, it applies to even takanos, gzeros, and to minhag as well. The Rambam writes the binding power of minhag is true, just as when it comes to the binding power of a mitzvah. And therefore, according to the Rambam, the fact that you don't recite a bracha on a minhag is not because you can't say vitzivanu. Vitzivanu is applicable even to a minhag. The same mitzvah lishma, the different chacham will apply, whether the chachamim mandate a mitzvah or whether they obligate us in a particular minhag, like Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos. What exactly is the problem? Here, the Brisk Rav explains the problem is the chetza, an inherent one, the nature. In other words, a birchas mitzvah can only be recited on that which is a mitzvah. A mitzvah as opposed to that which is a minhag. You know, we discussed not so long ago aspects of Tilas Arvis. Arvis is Rishus, Shachris Mincha Zachova. Remember we discussed the Machlokas, the Rambam Raivit. What's the difference between Rishus and Chova? Is it just I must or I may? One I have to do, the other I don't have to do? Or is the difference inherent? No, that the Chetza, there's a difference between a Karban Chova as opposed to a Karban Nedava. Inherently, there's a difference between a Tfilas Chova as opposed to a Tfilas Nedava. Even if a person makes a Neder, that I will bring every day a Karban Ola, that doesn't make it a Karban Chova. It means each and every day I am obligated to offer a Karban Nedava. No? That's the difference in Gava versus Chetza. What's the difference between a minhag as opposed to a mitzvah? Is the difference in terms of Gava, one I must do, one I may do? Of course not. No, the Rambam would argue you must fulfill a minhag as well. I don't mean a minhag like standing for Kiddush, sitting for Kiddush. A minhag that the Gemara writes, a minhag that the Chachamim, the Sanhedrin established, that the Rambam writes, is bound by Lo Sosur. So the difference is one in terms of its inherent quality. And on a mitzvah, you can recite a birchas mitzvah, but not on that which is only a minhag. So now you understand very well. Let's assume matzah. Is matzah only a minhag? There's no mitzvah of achilas matzah. Matzah has a shei mitzvah. An yantaf rishon, it's a mitzvah daraisa. So when the chachamim say to continue their practice one extra day, so therefore, even though you're right, the minhag is that you should use it one more day, but inherently, achilas matzah is endowed with the quality of mitzvah, in such a case, and that you can recite a bracha. So when do you recite a bracha? As long as something is noheg chova, matzah is noheg chova, and that you can recite a bracha. Arava is never a chiyuv outside of the Beis Hamikdash. That's not something which is called noheg chova. And on something which is a pure minhag, on that you do not recite a bracha. And now one can understand, and what about Hallel? Hallel is noheg chova, and yantif is a Hallel Shalim. A chatzi halal on Rosh Chodesh, to what extent is that called Nohei Chov? It's similar to the Chiyuv of halal, but not identical to. And that perhaps is part of the Machlokas Tosfos and the Rambam, whether that is considered to be an extension of the halal shalim, whether that's considered to be an independent minhag. And therefore, the Rambam writes that on that you do not recite a bracha. Maybe that is the basis of the Mechaber. If something is Nohek Chovim, and that one could recite a bracha. So I'll ask you the following question. I'm lighting the Ner Chanukah in the shul, only a minute. But is that a minute of something which is Nohek Chovim? So maybe one could suggest yes. Why is it that Hanukkah Saner Space of Knesset is no Echova? Maybe two possibilities. Maybe one possibility, but it's a little bit of a leap, is the following. Because Hanukkah Saner is no Echova in our homes. In our homes, you're right. It's not no Echova here. Here in the shul, that is not near Yeshuvesa. That's not the mitzvah. But it is no Echova, right? Next door, in someone's house, in my home. Maybe the fact that it's not limited to Mikdash. It applies even outside of Mikdash, Bevatenu. Maybe that's enough to label it as something which is no Echova. Okay, maybe that's alone enough. In order to argue it has a shein mitzvah, and that you can recite a bracha. Or maybe one could argue it's different. Let's assume, for example, I tell you, you know what, I want to be Yotzei with the Hadlak in the shul. For whatever reason, I'd rather not light in my home. I want to be Yotzei with the Lakat in the shul. So you're going to answer, no, for you that's not an option. Right, near Yeshubesa, your makom hadlaka is in your home. What happens if someone comes to the shul and they say, I want to be Yotzi with halakha sneros in the shul? You'll tell them, no, you have to light in your home. And you know what his response will be? I'm an achsanai. I'm traveling. My home is 1,000 miles away. I am not going to be in my home, right, on this night or during Hanukkah. I am an achsanai. So you'll tell him, you know what? Well, you can join with someone else's hadlaka. Right? Where are you going to be staying tonight, for example? Be mishtafet for fruta, participate with him in that hadlaka. What happens if he asks you, but you know what? Can I be yosei with the hadlaka in the Beis HaKnesses? After all, lighting in my home is not my obligation tonight. I'm far away from my home. So is it possible to be yosei? So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch and Imre Baruch, the Haggadah of Baruch Frankel, he quotes earlier posts him that, right, yes, for you who light in your home, being Yotzei in the shul is not an option. But for an achsanai, he can be Yotzei his hadlaka, the Beis HaKnesses. He can be Yotzei. Mashlama hadavar doma. You heard Kiddush in the shul Friday night? You'll tell me, do I have to make Kiddush again, right, when I go home and have the Suda? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But what happens if you're an Oreach who is not going to be in your home? You're going to be, for example, in the shul, as in the time of the Gemara, eating in the shul. We're going to say, yeah, this is a Kiddush that you could be Yotzei with. That was the original practice of Kiddush, Lel Shabbos and Shul, because of the guests who were away from their home, who were eating in the shul itself. And that's what the Rosh writes, that therefore, Bizman Hazeh, where people are not doing that necessarily, we shouldn't make Kiddush in the shul Friday night. And the Rambam, who disagrees and maintains that no, that this is a takana to incorporate Kiddush into the tefillah because of that reality, but even if there are no guests, you still do so. And therefore the minhag, interesting, the minhag Ashkenaz, typically of making Kiddush in the shul that follows the Tshuvas Rambam, and the minhag Sfard, the Mechaber, not to make Kiddush in the shul that follows the Rosh of the Bali Atosus, that you don't do so. It's a little bit of a switch, right, in the Shittim, in the story usually of how it is that we paskin. But that's one of the reasons for Hadlakas and Eros. And Achsanai could be Yotzei. In fact, the Kolbo writes, that's why we established Hadlakas and Eros in the Beis HaKnesses, for the sake of those who were away from their home during Hanukkah. So one could argue as follows, you know what, if that's true, I can't be Yotzei there. That's right, I can't be Yotzei. I have to leave my home. But he, the Achsanai, could be Yotzei with a Sadlaka. So I would argue as follows, I can't be Yotzei, but he could be Yotzei. But if he could be Yotzei, that clearly indicates that this is called a mitzvah, a shein mitzvah. This is called a hadlaka shel mitzvah, because one could be Yotzei their chiv with this. And that's enough to label this as a minhag, which is nohei kolo, the single book hakamim, and that you recite a bracha, just like on Yantav Sheni Shagalios, because this is labeled as hadlaka shel mitzvah. So maybe that's why the Mechaber writes, and Rosh Chodesh not. But hadlaka sneros beis haknesses, on that one can go ahead and recite a bracha. Perhaps another very different approach is as follows. You know, generally speaking, we perform a mitzvah and we recite a bracha. If I were to ask you, it's a theme for another shiur, what is the role of the bracha? To what extent is a bracha considered to be an inherent part of each and every mitzvah? Or would one argue that, you know what, a bracha is an independent kiyum. An independent kiyum. Not necessarily a chelik of the mitzvah itself. You know, the Tosfos Rosh is very bothered in brachos and the Tesvav. Why is it that a bracha is not ma'akeves? How come you don't say mitzvah if you don't understand a bracha? You know, maybe I would have argued, why should it? Why is the onus, why is the burden of proof for you to demonstrate why a bracha is not meikuva? Maybe the starting point is the exact opposite. There is an obligation to perform mitzvah. There's an obligation to perform a bracha. Well, of course, if you don't perform the bracha, if you don't recite a bracha, you don't fulfill the mitzvah of reciting a bracha, but why would you think that it impairs? I'll give you an example. The Tosfos HaRosh's answer is as follows. Bracha that says love, right, a fascinating answer. You know how I know a bracha is only l'chatchila? Because the bracha, no, the case in the Gemara is HaFrash HaShchumah. HaFrash HaShchumah is a mitzvah min HaTorah. And the bracha in HaFrash HaShchumah is only the Rabbanon. So obviously a bracha is not the kuva, because what is the Raisa, what is the Rabbanon? So obviously the bracha is not indispensable. From the Torah perspective, you're mafresh shema b'li bracha. But that answer is a great chiddush. That's good if you have a mitzvah d'arayis and a bracha d'rabbanan. What happens if you have a mitzvah d'rabbanan and a bracha d'rabbanan? Where everything is on the same tier? Is it possible to envision that a bracha is makev? So you have to think, alright, according to Rashi, yes. So that sounds like an astounding chiddush. That a birchas ha-mitzvah is a li'kuva in a mitzvah which is only d'rabbanan. Well, let's assume, for example, you have a mitzvah d'araisa with a bracha d'araisa. Could you argue the bracha really is absolutely critical? There is such a possibility that the Prima Gadim writes. Prima Gadim is found in Shulchan Aruch Tav Reish Pei Hei. But a bracha d'araisa, mitzvah d'araisa, right, the bracha is absolutely critical. We normally assume, no, a bracha is milsach rita. A bracha is an independent kiyum. Of course, you have to recite a bracha. But it doesn't impair the root mitzvah itself. Maybe one could argue as follows. You know, generally speaking, that is true. When I perform a mitzvah, if for whatever reason I didn't recite a bracha, the bracha doesn't detract from, it doesn't impair the siyas ha-mitzvah. But maybe when it comes to Ner Chanukah, that's not the case. Maybe when it comes to Ner Chanukah, there the bracha is considered to be an inherent part of the Ner Chanukah. If I were to go ahead and light without a bracha, it's not just simply that, you know, you fail to fulfill the extrinsic, independent, secondary kiyum of reciting a bracha, but maybe, you know, there's something lacking. Why should that be true? Perhaps the answer is simply as follows, because the essence of Ner Chanukah is Pirsuminis. The Gemara writes, for example, what's wrong with lighting an Ner Chanukah? Let's assume you hold Hanachos and Mitzvah. The real Mitzvah is the place in Ner Chanukah. What's wrong with lighting the Ner Chanukah and then walking with the Ner Chanukah and then putting it down? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with lighting here and placing it there? The Gemara says, what's wrong with that? Lighting here and placing it there? Haroe Omer. Because if somebody sees you just taking your lamp and you're putting it down, Haroe Omer. But sarchuhu da'adlaka. Anyone who sees you, they won't assume this is the Ner Chanukah. They'll assume that this is just a typical lamp. In the time of the Gemara, when they needed light, they used to take a lamp, they used to take a Ner, they used to take a lantern, and they would walk with it and put it down. You're walking with it on Chanukah and putting it down. That's the same thing you did Erev Chanukah, the same thing you're going to do the day after Chanukah. Haroa omer l'tzarchu da'adlaka. So I ask you the following question. You know what that sounds like? Haroa omer l'tzarchu da'adlaka. It sounds a little bit like Marasayim, no? You're performing a mitzvah in a way that it's not obvious to him that that's what you're doing. It looks to the bystander as though you're not doing the mitzvah at all, but that's not it, no? The Gemara says you're not Yotze. If you light the candle and you move it around and then you put it down, wait, I'm not Yotze because what? Because he thinks that this is a typical Ner. You know what the answer apparently is as follows. Yeah, the essence of Ner Chanukah is Pirsuminisa. And if you are going to fulfill the mitzvah in a way that it is not at all obvious that this is being done for the purpose of Ner Hanukkah, a bystander will say that, well, of course, this is what we do every day. We take a lamp, right, and we take this oil and move the lamp, put it down. Yeah, so you're not going to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah. It has to be one that lends itself to that sense of pirsum hanais. Maybe one could argue an interesting possibility that that's why bracha is so critical when it comes to Ner Hanukkah. Even if a bracha when it comes to Hallel, you wouldn't argue that the bracha on Hallel is an inherent part of Hallel. You'd argue that on the mitzvah of Hallel, we're obligated to recite a bracha. But maybe one could argue the bracha of Ner Hanukkah is critical because that's part of the pirsum hanais. To recite the bracha, right, on the hadlaka, to recite the bracha on the nes, to recite the bracha of Shas HaNisim, that's part of the Pirsum HaNisim. And therefore, lighting in the shul without a bracha, you know, Bezman HaZeh, you go to Minish Tiblach, they will light candles before every tefillah. Now, so all of a sudden they light one on Ner Hanukkah. What distinguishes this? The fact that there is a menorah. What distinguishes this from the tipples? Now here, the bracha is recited on bracha. You're saying a bracha of Shas HaNisim. This is clear. That's part of the Pirsum HaNisim. You know, the language of the Gemara, language of the Shulchan Aruch and Tafrei Shein Aleph is as follows. As that deal Rav Asher Weiss once suggested, right, and that is, the Mechaber could have said, Madlikin Beis HaKnesses Mishum Pirsum HaNisim Umevorchim. Right, the Mechaber writes, Madlikin Umevorchim Beis HaKnesses Mishum Pirsum HaNisim. You light and you make a bracha because of the Pirsum HaNeis. Maybe it seems to indicate that the bracha is part of the Pirsum HaNeis as well. If you light without a bracha, there's a deficiency. It's not obvious that, in fact, you are doing so. Now, reciting a bracha on the Neis is part of the Pirsum HaNeis. Mitzvah of Sifri Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Seder night, recite a bracha on the Neis. Asher Galanu, right? Kriyas HaMegillah, a bracha of Shas HaNisim, followed by a bracha of Harav Esriveinu. A bracha on the Neis is part of the Pirsum HaNeis. To the extent that here, if we would argue, no, this is only a minute, and a minute you don't go ahead and recite, right, the bracha, there is something which is lacking in the quality of the halacha, and maybe uniquely here. That's why the Mechaber writes, even though generally speaking, you don't recite a bracha in minhag like Halal and Rosh Chodesh, but here in fact, you do. So one possibility is, again, this is something which has a shei mitzvah, and the other possibility is that here is part of the Pirsum HaNeis. According to Tosfos, you certainly recite a bracha, because you recite brachas on Hagim only until you don't. And if you look in the Bir HaGrav, Taf Resh, and you know, if the Gaon writes something different, another fascinating comparison. The Gaon writes as follows. One of the mitzvos of the Seder night is Hallel. Right, that's critical. Hallel. Hallel is clear. The fourth coast is the coast of Hallel. No, that's one of the inherent mitzvos of the Seder. After all, one of the mitzvos of Dalet Kosos. Tosfos points out, look at that Lamed Ches. Dalet Kosos are not independent mitzvos, but rather, right, the Dalet Kosos highlight the four elements of the Seder, right, the Kiddush and the Magid and the Benching and the Hallel. That's how Tosfos proves that if the Gemara writes that women are obligated in Dalet Kosos, the Sugim Sachem and the Daf Kuf Ches, Tosfos says it's obvious that women are obligated in Hallel, because how can they be obligated in the coast of Hallel and be exempt from Hallel? And that's also Suskasha, because generally speaking, women are not obligated in Hallel. Hallel is a Zman Grama. So Tosus is Manishtana, that why is it that this night is different? Why is it that women are obligated in Hallel at the Seder when normally they're not? But Tosus' proof is from Dalet Kosos, because the fourth coast, that's Hallel. In other words, what is the Ikar Mitzvah of Hallel? At the Lel Seder, the answer is in the context, in the misgeres of the Seder. That is the Ikar Mitzvah of Hallel. That's part of the Pirsum HaNeis, the recitation of Hallel. But yet, the Gaon points out a very old minhag in the Gaonim and the Rishonim, the Ramban, that Hallel is recited the Beis HaKnesses. Many have that practice today as well. Of reciting Hallel and Shul. Where did that minhag come from? So that's the Chiddush that the Gaon points out, that when you have, right, such a halacha of recitation of halal mishum persimenisa, and nikar hadin that persimenisa is besa, but the minag is to broaden the pirsum hanes to the tzimur. And therefore, the ikar hadin of halal is in your home. But the minhag of persimenisa is to extend that halal to the Beis HaKnesses. And hence, the minhag of reciting halal in shul at the Lel Seder. The Gaon writes, that is the parallel to Hadlokas Haneros Beis HaKnesses. Hadlokas Haneros is persimenisa. And the ikar mitzvah persimenis, no doubt, is near Yishuvei, so you have to light in your home. But if there is persimenis that applies in the home, the minhag is now to have that very same practice as a chovas hatzimur. And that's what we do when we light, right, the Beis HaKnesses. That's the chiddush, right, that the Vonnegut points out. A fascinating parallel. Yeah. Right. It is interesting what is. We normally assume that halal is only drabanan, but there is ample basis, as you mentioned, to assume maybe that's not true of the halal of the Seder night. The halal of the Seder night might very well be a halal which is min ha-Torah, because when the Rambam describes the obligation of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Rambam includes in that not only telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but also the Hodah for Yetzias Mitzrayim. And therefore, perhaps, Lahodos Lahalel, that's part of the mitzvah min ha-Torah. I think there are many compelling rayas to indicate that that's true. So that would mean in the framework, in the miskeres of, let's say, the Seder, one is Osek the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And why is it that we broaden it out into the shul? The answer is, whenever there is such a right, mitzvah, persimenis, that applies more locally in one's home, the Seder, Hadlokas Haneros, right here is broadened out as a chovas hatzibur, and that is part of the additional kiyum of persimenis. So it's a fascinating element. There's so many different aspects to the fact that we light the menorah Beis HaKnesses. It's for the purpose of Orchim, it's for the purpose of persimenis, which is the tzibur. Baruchos Chaim points out that a Beis HaKnesses, a theme for a different shir, has the status of a mikdash ma'at, and therefore not so uncommon to take and draw parallels from Beis HaMikdash to, right, say Beis HaKnesses, and one of them is Hadlokas Haneros and Beis HaKnesses. But a fascinating practice, an unusual minog, that even the Mechaber writes one should recite the brach on the possibility of people who are away from their home to be yotzei with that type of halakha, right, endowed with the pirsumenisa, with the quality of a mitzvah. And perhaps on that basis, we recite a bracha here, even according to the Mechaber that writes that generally speaking, on a minog itself, we do not recite the bracha.
You said that the
Purim is also
the Kriya
Purim. Right. We don't go as far as this, but perhaps one could argue that the bracha has a very inherent role. So to that point, we don't know.